Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Sacramento Kings are getting ready to take on the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the NBA playoffs. For fans who have backed this team through thick and thin, it's even more special.
It's great. You know, it's been 16 years. You know, last time they went to the playoffs, I was six. So, I was just a kid. So I didn't even know much about the team and stuff. So, growing up, I always thought, honestly, as a kid growing up, I thought the Kings were like a college team. That's how bad we sucked so long. And now that we're in the playoffs, it's crazy. It's an amazing feeling,
There's been a whole generation who hasn't even experienced this moment yet, but you could even feel it during the post-game comments from Kings TV analyst Katie Christensen just moments after the Kings clinched the postseason playoff a few weeks ago after a win in Portland.
I mean, I'm having a hard time holding it together because I've been here from the very beginning of the playoff drought, and I've seen this city that loves their team and this organization that has fought to keep it here and ownership, and they have gone through a lot. They've struggled, and I haven't allowed myself up to this moment to think about it because I didn't want to get ahead of myself. I knew it was going to happen, but once it happened, all of that washes over you and you realize that the players deserve it, the coaching staff deserve it, but man, does this city deserve it? Does this fan base, all the way from Sacramento to Danny in England, all the way across the country, the fans that have shown up, that have followed, that have been there ride or die through the whole thing, I'm so happy for this fan base. You deserve it.
And that really gets to the heart of what sports can do. Joining us to talk about what this season means to the city, the team, and most importantly, the fans, is Katie Christensen, the color analyst for the Kings television broadcast, and Kings public address announcer, Scott Moak. Good morning. What a pleasure. Excited to have you both.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, that's a tough one to get through. I'm glad this is radio and not television.
I know.
In the first 20 seconds of this is something else.
I know. It definitely pulls at the heartstrings. So, Katie, I'm just going to get right at it. Start with you. We heard that emotion. We just heard it right now in those post-game comments. Where did that come from?
Well, that was the composed version. It took it took us a few minutes. I was sobbing like a baby right after the broadcast ended. And we taped that segment for the post-game. And my partner on the broadcast, Mark Jones, the ultimate girl dad, just sat there and rubbed my back while I sobbed. And so that version that you just heard was the composed version. And it comes from, 16 seasons of a lot of up and downs and just feeling how badly this city wants to rally behind this team, to see their success, to be a part of it, to feel a part of the success. And I think that's something that the Kings organization does so incredibly well. They embrace this community, the fan base. It's inclusive. And I think that in that moment, it was kind of for me like, wow, like finally for this city, finally for this fan base, they get to enjoy some much well-deserved happiness and something to be proud of.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, you're going to be announcing the first home playoff game in 16 seasons on Saturday. What is that moment going to mean for you when you introduce the players? I imagine it's going to feel different than like game one of this season.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly will feel different. I don't know if you'll hear much of those introductions, but because that place will be loud. But yeah, I mean, Katie hit it both on broadcast and just now. There's a lot of pent up, emotion and energy and sadness and nervousness, all of it all wound into Kings fan collective. And to see that all come to a head, especially, it was interesting over the course of the season, I felt like people weren't fully committed to embracing that this was a playoff team. It was like everyone was still super nervous, like something's going to happen. We're Kings fans. We know. We've been here before.
There was like an apprehension.
Yes. It was like the ultimate waiting for the shoe to drop moment for all of us collectively. And it's like we all each understood it, and we knew like you'd see Kings fans, they'd be like, light the beam, man, light the beam. This is so great, but I'm still a little nervous. I still don't know. And it's wild because this team is good. Like, they are really good. Third in the West, like, great. And yet people still had this apprehension. And that's, I think, what Katie just laser focused in on, was that feeling that people had once the finish line was crossed in terms of getting to the playoffs. It was that just, oh my gosh, I can celebrate this. And I can't wait to see and hear what Saturday and beyond sounds like.
Both of you have such an invaluable perspective. I mean, you go way back with the Kings. Katie, you've been a basketball analyst for 20 years, and you've seen some pretty rough basketball here in Sacramento. Can you pinpoint what happened this year that turned the team and the franchise around?
You know, I think the interesting thing is everyone wants to point to this year, but I think it really was a couple years ago. I think the hiring of Monty McNair, who I think hands down deserves to be executive of the year in the NBA, he came in and to a really volatile situation where there'd been a ton of turnover from the head coaching and the coaching staff, from the front office staff, and his job was to stabilize. And it was also during the pandemic. Right. And so there was some other things that added in and made the pressure, made it difficult, more difficult to do his job. But the difference between him and past front office executives, general managers, so on and so forth, was that his approach to it was very patient and methodical. He didn't feel the pressure of needing to make massive moves. He started making small collective moves that really have paid off this season. And last season, I think really the turning point was the trade deadline, when the trade between Indiana and Sacramento went down and Domantas Sabonis came to Sacramento, sending Tyrese Haliburton, who was so beloved, to Indiana. And when you look at the national media coverage of that trade deadline, the things that were said were so drastic. Someone called it, basketball malpractice. That was one that will always stick with me. And no matter what, Monty and his front office have just stuck to their plan. They've let it play out. He hired Mike Brown, which is critical in this whole thing. And Mike and his staff has been tremendous in terms of not even just, handling the basketball side of things, but the belief side of things. And there is a trauma, there is a history that comes with the team with this long of a drought, and it does trickle down to the players. So I think that has a lot to do with the turnaround of this season, is just a couple years of just sticking to the plan, making small incremental moves that have paid off to get guys like Kevin Huerter, Domantas Sabonis. Those were critical in the success.
When you talk about these incremental changes, I mean, one of them includes the Kings have a mental health trainer, and that's relatively new. Do you think that had a substantial impact on the team, given, that trickle down trauma that, it affects the game?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is important. And the way that they approach the game is from all aspects. It's from physical, mental, it's on the floor, it's off the floor, from everything from, the physical therapy staff that they have, the massage therapist, the nutrition, like all of those things are so important. But Graham and the work that he has done is really, really impressive. And listen, when I was playing in college in the early 2000s, we had someone that came in and worked with us on things like visualization. And that was such a new thing at the time. And Graham started working with high school students. That is how he has built this, the importance. He has formed great relationships and a trust that is there. And yeah, it's really important to address all those things. And that's the behind the scenes stuff. It's not just about shooting 500 threes or 100 free throws. It's all of the mental and physical aspects that combine to really form this outcome.
Given that you've played basketball in college and professionally, just talk about the pressure the players are going to face and how you think this team, which also has players that don't have postseason experience, how they're going to handle it. What's going to be different?
I think this team is so laser focused, and that is completely because of the tutelage of Mike Brown. And he's been there. He's been in these situations. You've got Harrison Barnes, Matthew Dellavedova, who is injured and not playing, but he also has this experience and has been extremely valuable for this team, despite that he has had little impact physically himself on the floor. And then, you know, Domantas Sabonis, Kevin Huerter also have playoff experience, but they haven't advanced past the first round. So, you know, I think there's going to be a little bit of excitement in game one. I think the energy in the building is going to be something that the players are going to have to focus on really trying to manage and control, because it's going to be electric. But I think that Mike does such a great job of preparing these guys in every way, shape, and form. But I think, Scott, would you agree that the fact that it's the Warriors has added another element to maybe the pressure that they're feeling?
I think so. I mean, you have a lot of connections between these two teams, not just the obvious of, you know, even like Harrison having played for the Warriors before. Dante DiVincenzo played for us last year, is now playing with them. But Mike Brown is the right. I mean, he was the coach there and he was the beloved assistant coach there. So clearly more kind of on the line and just makes, you know, that the theater that much bigger for, I think, this series. There's a part of me, you know, I think when everybody saw the potential matchups coming, you know, from 50 miles away and starting to get nervous and, you know, white knuckling through those last handful of games, you know, I think that there was a sentiment that, like, I mean, look, you're probably going to have to play the Warriors anyway. I'm not so sure playing them first isn't the worst thing. I think that that's actually a good way to gain some confidence. I think we match up fine. Katie's the analyst. She knows all this stuff better, way better. But I think that we match up well with them. We played them well all season long. So I think there's definitely theater that's going to be there for us all to watch. I'm so happy for these fans. That guy who had the, the sound at the very beginning, who was 9 years old.
You were laughing.
I think
you were
six years old or something. I think Keegan was also 6 years old the last time we were in the playoffs. So De'Aaron was probably 9 and Domantas was 10. So, I mean, we are in a whole new territory here. This is all new territory and everybody's just going to be amped beyond belief.
Yeah, it's got a much welcome new territory as well, given that you've been the Kings public address announcer since 2002, so more than 20 years. From your perspective, what is the definition of a Sacramento Kings fan?
I mean, I would say relentless, one, and forgiving to a fault, probably patient, more patient than anything you could ever imagine. I mean, there's few fans that could go through that year, that many years of playoff drought and still be with it. There was always moments when the team was really bad that Katie can attest to. She was there courtside and in her various roles too, watching it. You know, when the team struggled and the wins were hard to come by, fans still kept coming. You would see, you know, 15 and 16,000 people showing up to these games when the Kings are on their 7th win and 9th win halfway through the season. Then you'd take a look at some other games on the road against winning teams, and these arenas are half packed. Like, what is going on? Like, what is happening here in Sacramento that we have this love affair with this team that, you know, has for many years kind of let us down, but it doesn't matter. We're still in it. We know this is going to come around. We know we're going to do it. We're Sacramento. We're going to get back up. I mean, I know the soccer team uses indomitable. I think that that's, you know, a word that really characterizes this fan base extremely well. And for sure this team this season. So it's been a wild ride for sure. These 21 years. I'm so happy for fans. I'm happy for Katie. I want to see her cry again.
I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you. That's sweet.
Scott, do you think that the vibe at Golden One Center will have any similarity to that, to the old Arco Arena days?
You bet. One thing that I think either people have forgotten or don't know is the way that Golden One Center was even constructed was to be louder than Arco Arena from the way that the way that it was set up. There are far more seats closer to the action than there were in the old Arco. In the old Arco, there, you know, 17 or so thousand seats, and it was about split. It was about half were in the lower bowl, half were in the upper bowl. In this current configuration, far an overwhelming majority of them are in the lower bowl, closer to the court than the upper. So you just get more, you also make a little more money, by the way. But you get way more sound closer to the court, which just will give this feeling an overwhelming sense of, yes, it'll take us back for sure. There's been some moments this season, prior, and a few prior, where we have heard that playoff sound. I know Katie knows what I'm talking about. It's where you...
It's deafening.
It's deafening. You can't, like, when you're saying words, you can't really hear them. It's a phenomenon that is interesting, and we're going to see a lot of that over the next couple of weeks.
It even transcends basketball, because Scott, you work for Sac Republic FC as their vice president, and the team moved back their kickoff Saturday night to accommodate Kings fans. I mean, talk about that connection between, you know, two sports teams in the city.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I'll say one something people might not know is the connection between Mike Brown, Jordy Fernandez, the head and the coaching staff of Sac Republic, Mark Briggs, and others is very interesting. They're helping each other. They're connected. Their families know each other. I mean, it is really interesting to see how these two teams, club and team, have joined up and connected up. You know, look, this is a Sacramento story. I mean, Mike Testa said it just before we were on. We are all Sacramentans here. We are all behind this story, and we all have to do everything we can to support what is going to be happening this coming weekend and then for the games after. And so if that meant, you know, petitioning the league and talking to our opponent at Sac Republic to move the game back an hour so that fans could enjoy the entirety of the game and then flip over and watch some soccer, you better believe it. We're doing that. 10 days out of 10, we'd make that happen. So look, we are all riding this purple beam wave that the Kings have created. It is fantastic for this city. It's fantastic for those people to get to be a little bit close to it, like Katie and I. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm giddy to see it.
Finally, as we wind this conversation down, I want to ask both of you this. I mean, because literally there is a generation that has never known winning basketball in Sacramento. What wisdom can you share about what postseason basketball is like, the intensity and the impact on a fan base and really the community? Katie?
Well, gee, I wish I could tell you what winning basketball was like, because I joined this team the year after the first year they missed the playoffs. So
you're part of that generation.
Yeah, I am. I am part of that generation. But I can tell you this from this perspective. I know this community. I've been here so long and they've embraced me and I've been a part of it and embedded in it. And, you know, I can be out front mowing my lawn and the bug guy that's at the house across the street will see me and be like, light the beam, and unzip his hoodie. And there's a Sacramento Kings shirt underneath. And it's everywhere I go. These fans are so passionate. So I can tell you what they can expect is that the team will return the same passion. I know that to be true. I know that to be, you know, the expectation. And I'm just so excited for everyone to be able to be a part of it and experience it. And I will say this, this is my little plug here. All four California teams are in the postseason for the first time in NBA history. And I know I've been on Twitter. It's been kind of a cesspool as of late. There's been a lot of trash talking between certain fans and other fans. And I will say this, be happy for each other. Root for your team. Represent us well. Don't fall for the bait, right? The same thing as like the Kings can't fall for the Draymond Green bait, right? Enjoy the ride. Just keep it classy, Sacramento, because we deserve this. So I just say enjoy it and ride the purple wave.
Yeah, Scott, we got about 20 seconds left. I'll leave the last words to you.
Yeah, I mean, let's do this. We've been waiting for this moment for a generation, and it is our time. It starts Saturday. I know people are going to show up, and it is going to be something to remember, and Kings fans get to rally together finally and cheer on their team.
Scott and Katie, it was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much.
That is Katie Christensen, the color analyst for the Kings television broadcast, and Scott Moak, the Kings public address announcer. Game one of the NBA playoffs is Saturday at Golden One Center. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.
Jason.